Continue our studies in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And I don't mean to make light of this. I do find it a little humorous that we spent all this time over these past 2 years going through the epistles, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, looking at the places where Peter is spoken of and what Peter is going through. And we finally get to this book of Peter and we think to ourselves just a little bit, whoo, finally we're here. We're going to zip right through this. We'll get through this done. And next thing you know, we'll be on to another subject. But folks, it really is never another subject, is it? If it becomes another subject, then we're wasting our time. No matter where we go in scriptures, whether we're following what we think the path of Peter, or whether we're looking at the blood of this sacrifice or that sacrifice, it's always something that points us to Christ. This morning is no different. In our last study, the Apostle Peter's first epistle, we began to look at verse 3 after we had considered of whom this epistle was addressed to in verses 1 and 2. We considered how Peter, as does all of God's saints, burst out in praise to God. This is what we do. I praise my Lord. What do you hear from John Reeves out on the streets? What do you hear from Roger Deaver, Polly Mary, Mike and Shirley Loveless, Kathy Reeves? What do we hear from you? We hear about how our Lord is gracious to us. That's praising our Lord. Oh, how much my Lord is gracious to me, one who is undeserving of His grace. Yet you hear from me, my Lord is the master of grace. As do all of God's saints, Peter burst out in praise to God for such a blessed hope, a hope that can only be found in the works and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in verse 2. This lively hope, confirmed and secured by His resurrection. And this lively hope is, as all things, it's a gift of God Himself. It's not something that we can conjure up with our own natural minds. Our own natural minds lead us to the tendency of these thoughts. What can I do to be saved? That's the natural man. What can I do to make myself better? No, this has to be a gift of God. This hope, this lively hope is a gift, and we see the surety of it in the fact that our Lord arose from the dead. It's called the new birth. When the old rebellious heart is cut away, it's removed, we are given a new heart, a willing heart, willing to believe, willing to submit, willing to bow before the Most High. Our old rebellious nature is gone. And our new willing nature comes to Him as Lord of all. As our Lord. That's what it means to bow to the Lord Jesus. He's my Lord. You may have something else that you think is the Lord, but Jesus Christ is my Lord, and He's the only Lord I have. And this is all according to His abundant mercy, His grace. Look at verse 4, if you would, of 1 Peter chapter 1. After we see that Peter has praised out, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then now verse 4, to an inheritance. Ooh. To an inheritance. Now I'm blessed with the fact that my mom is still alive. And I don't wish her to leave this earth anytime soon. But But she's been a pretty wise woman all her life. Lord has blessed her with the ability to put some money away and build up a little bit something for her to give to her children. It's called an inheritance. You know what an inheritance is? It's something that you have not done anything for. You were strictly born. I didn't do anything. My mom did it all. I don't know how much it's going to be. It doesn't really matter. I don't care if she gives it all to Lee or David or Ann or Nancy or anything. I just want one picture that she's got hanging on her wall. That's all. I got that, I'll be happy. But still, it's an inheritance. This is what our Lord is telling. This is what Peter is declaring here. We have an inheritance, and that is our lively hope. When the roll is called up yonder, that's where we're going, folks. We're going to heaven. We have a merciful God who has loved us from before the world began and has sent His Son to be our substitute. And He is exactly that. He's done it perfectly. I was reading in one of our articles this morning, The East from the West. Let's see, who was it there? It's in the bulletin here. Oh, by Pastor Daniel Parks, Missionary Daniel Parks. As far as the East is from the West, and I'll leave that for you to read at another time to yourself there, but it goes through to describe, you know, you go to the North Pole, and you stand there with a compass, and the compass will turn, and it'll always turn, no matter which direction you go, it'll always turn to a certain point there. But if you go to the East or the West, you just keep going around, and it just keeps on going forever. You'll never meet that point where it's not pointing to the North. It'll always point to the North, always. We have an inheritance, incorruptible. That means without decay, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Our hope is a hope of an eternal inheritance. God the Father has put all things in the hand of His Son, and we have been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ the Lord. What is His is ours. Does He not have everything? That's why He can say in His Word in Romans 8, how shall He not give us everything? Because everything is His to give. We have been adopted into the family of God, and once we were far from Him, He could not look upon us, for we were yet sinners. Yet God has cleansed His people from all their sins. We have been justified by His blood. Turn over to Titus. Titus chapter 3. It's just a little bit to the left of Hebrews there. Look at Titus chapter 3 for just a moment. Titus chapter 3, and let's begin at verse 3, and we'll read through verse 7. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly. Woo! I don't know about you folks, but I love that word abundantly from the Lord. That means overflowing. That means the glass that you see before you can't hold all the beautifulness of our Lord's mercy upon us. It's overflowing. My cup overfloweth with the greatness of my Lord. Abundantly. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified, cleared of all guilt, just as if I'd never sinned, by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? When the roll is called up yonder, Polly, we're going to be there.
I'll be there.
That's it. I'll be there. Do we have doubts? Of course we do. Like our brother Tim Burnett in Friday night study. Do I have doubts? To say you don't is to be lying and deceiving yourself. David had doubts. A man after God's own heart. A man who God had shown over and over and over and over again. Just as He has you and I. He's shown us over and over and over again how powerful He is. All power in heaven and earth belong to Him. Yet we still have doubts, don't we? Oh, but to know this, that my doubts are not my salvation. And neither are my assurances. My Lord Jesus is my salvation. He is my assurance. His word is my assurance. His word is what I trust in. His word is what I believe in. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Look with me at verses 11 through 17. Romans 8. Man, you think this page I have right here before me would open automatically as I've turned into it so much. Look at verse 11 of Romans 8 with me if you would for just a moment. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, that we owe a debt, not to the flesh, but to not to live after the flesh, but if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We who were once dead and have been born again, given a new life, we walk a different walk. Do you remember a time when you said, oh, did you see how lucky I was just now? Remember a time when you maybe were pulled in that little one-armed bandit and you said, whew, I got lucky today? Or, wow, I got lucky. Look, there's a $20 bill on the floor. Mother Nature. Can't fight Mother Nature. Lady Luck. What's that third one? Pastor Gene always said the three ladies you can't. Let's see. Lady Luck. Misfortune. Misfortune. Yeah. I always forget her. Misfortune. You don't hear that from God's people anymore. Oh, John, yeah, I heard you say luck the other day. Oh, I know I slip once in a while. Don't be around me when I'm working and smash my thumb. You might hear a little truck driver come out in John Reeves. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we walk a new walk. And that new walk is that we have a God, the one who truly is God, dwelling in our hearts and in our souls, drawing us to Him every moment through the things that we walk in and step in and stumble over through this world, and remind us that He is God. Amen. That He deserves to be called God. Because He is, and there is no other. We walk a different walk. We talk a different talk. Where we once trusted in the things of our own imagination, the things of this world, we now count it all as it is, truly is. As Paul says, dung. All that wisdom that we had at one point about I'm guiding my own way, I'm making my own decisions, I'm making my own way through life. It's all foolishness. Paul was a very religious man. Some of you have been before too. Very religious, but yet without God. And I know I've heard the testimony of several who have said that all that I had thought at one time was nothing but blindness. Now I see. I see who truly is Lord. And He's the one who says, I have an inheritance. He's the one who says, I have loved you with an everlasting love from before the world began. I am known, He says to me, as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, because I was slain for you, John. I was slain for you, Kathy. I was slain for all of my children. And I shall have you, He says to me. We will all be glorified in our Savior. Look with me now, if you would, over Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Right there before Ephesians. We have an inheritance. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. A place in heaven, an eternal place where we will go. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 20 through 29, we read these words. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, and shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ. Oh, Brother Mike, I wanted to scream out amen when he told our Brother Tim Friday night. Do you believe God? Well, that belief is a gift of God, to believe in Him. Trust in that. Not trust in it for your salvation, but trust in it according to His Word. Amen. I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There's faith out there that is not according to the Scriptures.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And
that's a vital part of that.
Let's continue on though. So, for ye are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, that's verse 26. Verse 27, for as many as ye have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, we're going to look at, let me say this real quick. Our inheritance is an inheritance found only in Christ Jesus. If ye be, it says, Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. It's only found in Him, co-heirs to the glory of God. When all stand before the throne of judgment, there will those on the left gnashing their teeth. There will be those on the left gnashing their teeth, for they will know. They will know that their refusal to believe the record of Christ is of their own doing. They will forever in eternity have the guilt of knowing their sin. Yet those on the right will be welcomed unto the glory of heaven, knowing that for the love of God, for the grace of God, through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have received mercy. bringing us to the praise of the name of Christ for all eternity. Hallelujah unto the Lord. One more scripture regarding this inheritance. Look over at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. On the other side of Ephesians there. To the right. Look at Colossians chapter 1. And read with me verse 9 through 24. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. These were all created by Him and for Him. And He is therefore all, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and to all the things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, and yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. And here comes that. Here comes how we will get this inheritance. Because we have been presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, in which He was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Now look over at chapter 3. We'll read two verses over there, and then we'll go back to our text, and we'll finish up. Chapter 3, look with me if you would at verses 23 and 24. Of Colossians. Oh, I went too far. Colossians chapter 3. There we go. Speaking of this inheritance that Peter is telling us about, knowing in verse 3, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, go back to our text and let's read that one more time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Our lively hope is based on God's abundant mercy. A lively hope that we have by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Now what does it say next? Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Aren't you glad that it was an inheritance of Christ? Hey. I don't understand how people can stand in churches or buildings all around the country, all around the world, and say, if you'll just put your faith in what you're about to do next, if you'll just come forward and say the prayer. How is there any assurance in that? That's to say that you're uncorruptible. God says His inheritance that He is giving us is an incorruptible inheritance. It's undefiled. Everything about man is defiled, including our will, including our thoughts. Only Christ is perfect and undefiled. An inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and it's reserved when the roll is called up yonder. It's there waiting for me. Oh, what a lively hope we have, folks. But only if that hope is in Christ. The Christ of Scriptures. Amen.